As you would to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. I appreciate all three songs. I was thinking as they were singing, and especially I was thinking about the first song when Brother Porter was singing, that second verse, when Christ comes back. The book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It reveals to us who He was, who He is, and who He's going to be. The world does not yet begin to understand what a terrible thing it's going to be to have to face Jesus if you're not saved. Some people think that they think of Jesus and they think during this time of year, a little baby in a manger, and they sing all those little sweet songs, and those things are good, but that's the instrument, and that is the pathway that God chose to bring Jesus into the world, His Son, the gift that He wanted to provide. But John got to see. Now remember, John was the apostle that Jesus loved. He was the one who loved Jesus. He was the one who laid his head over on his breast. Now in chapter 1 we're going to read that John had been put on a place where Rome would put prisoners. It's called Patmos. It was a rock about 10 miles by 6 miles. And so they would put him there to spend the rest of their life for hard labor. And so John had been put there for the testimony of Jesus Christ and for preaching the gospel. He was the last. This was 60 years. It had been 60 years since he had seen Jesus. Jesus had died. He saw him hanging on the cross. Jesus had told him to take his mother, take care of her. Then he saw him a few times after he resurrected. But he had not seen him for 60 years. He also got to see him, as Brother Junior was talking about in Sunday school, him and Peter and James, John's brother, got to go up on a mount of transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, and see Jesus transformed before their eyes. They saw the glory of Jesus. They were told not to tell no man what they'd seen until after the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. Now remember, this same John is the one that's being given the responsibility to write these words we're fixing to read. But when he saw Jesus, this Jesus when he comes, the Jesus that the world's going to face, that they've never seen anything like him, he fell like he was dead. When Daniel saw this one in Daniel chapter 7, he fell as if he was dead. The fact of facing Jesus at the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11 says that the heaven and earth fled away from his face. Amen. The world does not yet know. All those who has mocked, all those who has cursed, all those who has rejected, all those who has neglected Jesus is going to face a Jesus they never believed ever existed. They've gone through this life, living life for themselves. And then when they meet the Lord, when he comes back, it's going to be something else. You find several descriptions of him when he comes back. Begin reading if you would, and I want to focus in on one or two verses, but I'd like to begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 1. Stay with me if you would. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and he signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now let me say this. We get to see in the book of Revelation, Jesus revealed as he who was, what he was before he came, what he was when he came, what he's going to be when he comes back. But we also get to be reminded right here what we were before he came to us, what we are right now, and what we're going to be. Right now, the Bible says, here in a moment, we'll read three phases. In verse number 19, it says, write these things which I have seen, the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter. And so, the things which he had seen, John had seen, is the things that he saw with Jesus. The things which are, that he was referring to, is described in chapter 2 and 3, through the seven churches of Asia, from Ephesus down to Laodicea. It not only describes seven churches that John was to write and give this letter to, and each one of them was to read and write what Jesus had said to all seven churches. That he condemned them for some things, commended them for other things, but also through these seven churches was the prophetic church age. From the apostolic time when there was apostles on the earth in times of John until the last church age, which I believe we live in, the church of Laodicea, and the one in which Jesus is going to spew many out of his mouth. They're going to be blind, poor, wretched. They're not saved. And so therefore it's going to be a terrible thing. And let me say this. I sincerely believe churches are full of lost people in this day and time. Amen. I'm not judged, but I'm just saying God's word has done proclaim that it would be so. That's why you better heed the word of God. The Bible is told, we are told that the Bible is a best-selling book in America. But it is the least read book by many people. Many people think by having a Bible is salvation to their soul. But it's not, my friend. You better apply the words to your heart. Let's continue reading, if you would. Verse 7. He says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, this is not when he comes for the church to take us out. Nobody's going to see him then. It's going to be a shout. A trump's going to sound, we're going to disappear. We're going to be gone. He's going to get us as a thief in the night. But when he comes back in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, he is coming back and everybody's going to see him when he comes back. He's going to be sitting and his sight's going to be something else. Behold, every eye shall see him. You know what they're going to do when they see him? They begin to wail because they've never seen nothing like this. There's going to be armies, and that's going to be at the Battle of Armageddon, not getting into a lot of things. There's going to be armies going to try to defeat him, the beast, the Antichrist, false prophet. They're going to try to come against him. And the word that comes out of his mouth is going to defeat all of them. And all that took the mark of the beast, and they would be cast into hell to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse 8. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Notice this next verse. It's where I'm going to come back to in a moment. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book. Send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool. Now his head and his hair represented the authority or the purity of God. Also the wisdom of God, his understanding, his intellect, his counsel like no one can have. Then his Bible says his eyes were as a flame of fire. His eyes represented the perception of God. He knows everything. When he sees you, and when you stand before God, you don't have to tell him what is and what is not. He knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything you've done, every deed. As a matter of fact, when you stand before God, the books will be open, and another book, which is the book of life, and you'll be judged out of those things written in the book according to deeds that you have committed. Everything that you've done will be brought to light to you when you stand before God. His eyes will look at you. He'll look right through you, and there'll be no deceiving and lying and arguing with God. When his eyes look upon you, be as burning fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. His feet shows persistence, that he's persistent in what he does. He's not going to show favor to one and not to another. He stands, and he'll stand upon the word of God. He told us that in the last days, the word that I've spoken, it shall judge you in the last day. Amen. You don't know what you're going to be judged, you better get in the book. Right. Somebody said, I don't believe in hell. You better get in the book. It's in there. You better understand. Somebody said, well, I don't think God. You better get in the book. It don't matter what you think. You better get in the book. Look on if you would. The Bible says, and his voice as a sound of many waters. Now his voice represents the power. And by the way, it will be the final say. We teach our kids, when I was growing up, I was taught by my dad, when you ask him something or you begged him for something, you did it once. Now, when he got old, he got soft. With the grandkids, Deborah there, he spoiled her. But when we was growing up, you didn't ask him second time. You asked him second time, he took you to woodshed. Well, you really didn't make it to woodshed. You got it right where you was at. We've taught our kids, and I can't stand this, and you might do it, but I don't like it. I'm going to count to 10. One, two, three. I've been in grocery stores and stores. They count to 10 once. They count to 10 twice. They count to 10. Come on. You know what we teach our kids? Beg long enough, and we're going to give in and give you what you want. Listen to me, you're teaching them a bad habit. The reason why you're teaching them a bad habit is this: when they stand before God, they'll not win him over with begging and persuasion. His voice is authority. He means what he said, and he said what he meant. And his word is forever settled in heaven. No one will move him off of his word. So you better hear his voice. You better know what his word said. Stay with me a minute. Look on. It says, and in his right hand, seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. We know what that is, the word of God. His countenance was as the sun shineth in strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, for I am the first and last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And the mystery of the seven stars, which I saw in my hand, right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. In other words, Jesus said, I've got the seven churches in my hand. No man's going to pluck them out. I've got them in my hand. You're safe. Listen to me. You better be part of those that secure. You better be part of those who are saved. If you are, you're secure. When John saw him, he saw him. Now remember, this is the apostle that spent time with him, that loved him. Even saw him on Mount Transfiguration. But when he saw him here, as you will see him at the judgment, he fell as if he was dead. He didn't know what to do. Now, going back a moment, I want you to notice in verse number 10 that John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard behind me a great voice as of trumpet. I want to talk about the Word of God. The Bible speaks of the voice of the Lord many times in the Old Testament, more than the Old, I think only one time in the New Testament, speaks of the Word of God, speaks of the Word of the Lord. Many, many times throughout the Bible. God chose to speak to us through His spoken Word. There's times when He has spoke His Word to people upon the earth. They've heard Him with their ears, literal ears. Everybody around heard them when He spoke, that he wanted to hear speak. Then there was times, and by the way, he also spoke to men, and the Holy Spirit of God spoke to men and moved them to write the Word of God. But then Jesus became the incarnated Word. He sent his Son to become the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Jesus came and was the Word. The Word walked among the people here, and they enjoyed the Word. Then we have Jesus leaving and the Holy Spirit of God moving upon the disciples to write, and we have His written Word. We've never seen Jesus. But look, if you would, real quickly in 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice if you would in verse number 8. The Bible says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now let me say this. There's four places people look for authority. The Catholics look to their church. They believe their church has the authority over this book. They believe their church has the authority to change the book, supersede the book, to create things that's not written in the book. Not so. There are other denominations that believe human experiences overrides the book. They believe they get new revelations in certain ways than the book. We was at a place the other day, and at a funeral, Chris and I was, and they never talked once about the experience where they were at when they got saved. It was a Church of Christ, and all they talked about was baptism. Baptism is all they were. Whenever they got feeling like they couldn't sleep, it's time to get baptized. Now, baptism is important, but it's not salvation. And see, what a lot of people, what they do is, they think authority is through a human experience. You don't get your authority through the human experience. And by the way, let me say this. There's a lot of places that believes in new revelations all the time. Genesis revelation is all the revelation God's going to give us. Anytime somebody pops up and said God gave them something other than what's in the book, you better not believe it. They can say anything. I remember years ago, Oral Roberts popped up and said, listen, God said that you got to give me $9 million, he's going to take my life. And a bunch of fools send them money. Let me tell you something. If you can't find it in the book, don't believe it. Amen. It's in the book, amen? But there's a lot of religions that believes in human experience as being their authority. Don't get caught up in that. Then there's humanism, which is intellectualism, which they believe if they can't reason it out, they don't believe it. In other words, they've got to be able to reason it and see it, and only through humanism, their way of thinking is the only way that they think the truth and authority is. We have a bunch of liberals in Washington right now that believes in that way, humanism, and man, what a mess they're making of our country. Then you have those who believe in the Bible being the authority. I'm not saying you have to like everything in it, but it's truth. Amen. It cuts us. It hits every one of us. Amen. There's not a person here that says, boy, I never hear the word of God. It doesn't convict me. If they are, then there's something wrong with you. The word of God is the authority. You're called fundamentalists when you believe that. That it's fundamental, the fundamental word of God. You believe it's inerrant, infallible, and you believe this is the word of God. And what it says supersedes anything that any man or woman says or teaches. Now, I said all that to say this. The word of God is very important. Now, listen to me. We were introduced to the voice of God in Genesis chapter 3. We found the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. We find that Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. The Bible says that it's a very personal voice. I call my sheep by their name. When God went looking for Adam, he said, Adam, where art thou? Now, John here, when he saw the voice of God, he understood that this voice was something unique. One of a kind. There's no other voice. Now listen to me. The Bible says in the time in which we live, there'll be many seducing spirits. A lot of people's looking to all the wrong things for the word and voice of God. They're being deceived. They're being misled. They're being led down the wrong road. But if you want to know the voice of God, get you, and I don't apologize for this, get you a King James Bible if you're English speaking. Get in there and study the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to you and study it to rightly divide the Word of truth. Now, why did I say that? I'm going to close in just a moment. I'm not going everywhere I was going to go because I got carried away on some other things. But I want you to get this. The Word of God, there is nothing in comparison to it. When John heard the word of God, it proclaimed, he said, I want you to write down. And he revealed to us some things in the word of God. We've never seen Jesus. And I know there's been people, I've seen him here. You haven't. The only way you've seen Jesus is through the word of God. God allows us to believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So therefore, when we are obedient to the word, that's how we become saved. That's why the Bible says the preaching of the word is so important. And Jesus left us commissioned to preach the word to the world, to take the word of God and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. You say, preacher, how are people saved? By believing the word. Now listen to me a minute, and I'm going to close right here. Has his voice ever spoke to you? Has he ever called you? You ought to be able to go to a time and a place and say, that's when I felt the Spirit of God speak to me and draw me to come. I had someone trying to tell me about some experience they had, and they were trying to paint themselves as being elite spiritually because that experience gave them all these gifts.
I said, tell me about when you first got saved. Well, I was just always saved. I said, no, you wasn't. You ought to be able to go to a time and a place. And let me say this. I believe when you're saved, I believe you know his word, and I believe you know when it's not his word. There are times when I hear things. I was sitting somewhere the other day. Was we sitting at a funeral? This guy got quoting scriptures from other versions. I looked at Chris. I said, that ain't the word. That is not the word. In that word is power. It's powerful, alive. But I wanted to ask you this. Have you ever heard the voice of God? Does he call your name? Does he speak to you? And you know, even today, after I've been saved all these years, I get away from God or I get things and God speaks to me. And boy, I know he's talking to me. And sometimes I hear a message and everybody in the place is hearing, but boy, I am hearing his voice. The Bible says, and he said, my sheep hear my voice. And they know me. And they follow me. Do you know his voice? Have you ever heard his voice? Can you go back to a time when his voice? If not, listen to me. Please listen. You may not listen right now, but one of these days you will wish upon your life you'd listen. Because one of these days, if you continue to neglect the word of God, when you die and you're resurrected back and you stand at that great white throne judgment, and there is a lake of fire over there, and everybody that stands there is cast over there, and that's a second death, as you stand there and his voice comes out, and you hear his voice here, you'll want to flee to hell to escape the vision of God and Jesus upon that throne. It will be such a sight that the Bible says even the heaven and earth fled away from his face. Amen. My friend, you'll wish throughout eternity you had stopped and listened and heard the word of God and heard the voice of God. Today, if he's dealing with your heart to come, you know that. And you know that God is speaking to you. That's when you come. If any man come to me, his spirit draws you. And so therefore no man come to me except I draw him. And if the Spirit of God is drawing you today, that's when you come. Amen. If he's dealing your heart, you ought to come. Maybe today is a day of salvation for your soul. Would you come this morning as God leads, as we give a song, Brother Porter? Maybe today is the day that his voice and you hearing his voice. He's calling you, and I remember the night that he called me. And I know he spoke to me, and I have no doubt that he spoke to my heart to come. You know how he does that? Through the Spirit of God and through the written word. As it's being preached, boy, the Spirit of God will take it out. And if you're not saved, he will convict you of your sin, and he will draw you to come into Jesus. If you are saved, then he'll speak to you and you'll know his voice. And he'll tell you what he wants you to do. And boy, you'll be able to hear it. Even though you might not hear it here, you'll hear it right here. And you'll know he's calling your name. And he's talking to you. How about this morning? Would you come? God's dealing your heart. How about it?